good word, but it's not one of my everyday vocabulary. So I looked it up. It means not transferable, not capable of being taken away or denied. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they're yours. They're God intended. They refer to God in the Creator. It's the Creator that has given us these unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Christians should be especially appreciative of these unalienable rights. For these compose the heart and substance, if you please, of Christianity. Life reflects on the image of God in which man is made. And liberty recognizes the liberating force of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the pursuit of happiness. It symbolizes the aspirations that a regenerate people, a saved person, can have that inner joy, that happiness that only comes by God. Let's break them down and look at each one. The first one, thank you to the water team. Oh, we left to learn the tool. That's appreciated. The most important and most valuable gift to man is our life. If you have life, I say it humorously because I heard it stated humorously, when somebody says, it's good to see you. When you get to this point in life, a good response is, it's good to see you. Life! And it's, you know, but God gives the gift of eternal life. Since each human being has only one life to live on the earth, we must discover the worth and the purpose of that one life in order to make life count. And certainly as believers, this is extra true. Sometimes when you watch a person being interviewed on television or listen to it on the radio, and it's an individual of character and one worthy of distinction, you hear them say something to the effect, you know, I want my life to count. I want people to benefit from my living. My desire is that when I'm done living, people will be better because of it. Now, I'm not talking about a Christian program or a Christian station. I'm talking about a secular commentator interviewing and what is likely an unsaved person. But I've heard it over and over again. And friend, you and I can do the same thing in an enhanced and advanced manner. As believers in Jesus Christ, our life should count for God, should count for good. People should be the better because they've known us. Better because they've known us. Not just that they know us and like us, but better because they've had us interact in their life.
Amen.
Men, women, boys, and girls, those who discover what Jesus meant when he said, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? This same Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, we need bread. And that's why he promised that he takes care of the birds in the field, or the birds in the air, and the lilies in the field. He'll take care of us. He'll feed us. We need it. I'm not denying it. but it is just an aspect of life. We need a home. You have a job because you have the need of money to pay for the bills, to buy the food and the raiment, the clothing. I'm not denying these things, nor am I thinking in any way that we ought to ignore those responsibilities. But somewhere in us, in this mind of ours and this heart of ours, there needs to be an understanding, a controlling understanding, that there are more important things in life. Most of you know that I have a part-time job at the Olean Library. Monday through Thursday, I clean for 3 hours and do whatever else might be needed in light maintenance. When it gets too big, we call in the plumber or the electrician. Okay, I'll change the light bulb, and I'll look a lot the same. But after that, we get the guys who know what to do. I pray that because I've been at the library, I won't simply be known as the man who cleans good. But I want there to be something known about my person, about my character.
Amen.
They have a non-religious policy stand. You as a patron can go in there and talk to somebody about Jesus. But staff members are not to talk about religion to each other, and definitely not to patrons. And yet I need to find some way as I interact with staff that they know that I am what I am because of Jesus Christ. Now this is a challenge. But it's a challenge so many find. I'm glad for that challenge. Because when a pastor, I was a pastor, I was on another side of the fence in these matters. I did not have the understanding or the experience that people go through when they live out there in the secular world. One of the benefits of being a bivocational pastor, as was required of our pastor for many years, is that they have that advantage of knowing what it's like.
Yeah, amen.
Well, you think that means every pastor ought to be a bivocational pastor? No. Because there's so much in the work to do. I'm pleased that he does not have to work out, or at least at this point, he does not have to work out, so that he has time to study. What does the Bible say? He's just prayer and study the Word. And then there's visiting the people that must be done. There's care of the ordinary things of life that he must interact with. Life. I want people to know, not just that I'm a nice guy. Why? Goodness, I think I've achieved that. There's a staff award tonight. Pat went along to that party. And they were showing, all the while people were eating and mingling, they were showing on the screen different people's names and things about them. And they flashed up. Kudos or congratulations to Roger Dane, who always has a smile on his face. And my wife almost choked him. Is this the same man I'm married to? I tell her, I'm all smiled out by the time I get home. I've been as happy as I can be. But I want to be known more than just a man who smiles. Now, I don't expect they'll put up in that screen the things that I'm hoping I can communicate. But life is what God gives us. And we need to make that life count for God. Jesus came that he tells us that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, he wants to give us eternal life, but he not only wants us to have a pass into heaven, he wants us to have an abundant life, a quality of life as Christians. John chapter 1, verse 3, I'm reading, all things were made by him, that's Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him, that's Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of man. Jesus is the light of man. The psalm writer said, Jesus is the light. He indeed is. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's you. When you read John 3:16, what's your name? For God so loved, what's your name?
Amen.
For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that in place of whosoever put your name, I have everlasting life. I got it when I was 15 years of age. I heard the gospel given at a church my grandfather came and took my mother and I to. My dad was dead by that point. He took us to church. I heard an evangelist preach. I had gone to Sunday school at times, never regularly, but I had gone to Sunday school. You've heard me say before, I do not remember hearing the gospel. That I did would not surprise me because of where I went to Sunday school. But I do not recall it. But I heard the gospel that night when that evangelist wielded the sword of the Word of God. When he gave an invitation, what he did was invite me to ask Jesus Christ into my life. And more importantly, for me to give my life to him. And I did it that night. In a very traditional manner, I went forward.
Amen.
One of the prepared men took me into a side room, which was, I think, the pastor's office. And there he sat down with the Bible and he showed me some familiar verses. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm 74. I was 15. You do the math. When I'm 75, I'll be able to do it. But otherwise, I have to use my... You know that this is God's calculator? When you need to count, how many people are there? 1, 2, 3. Life. Do you have life? God intends you to. And then liberty. Next to man's greatest possession is liberty. As much as Jesus wanted men to have abundant life, he knew it must be free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free spiritually, yes. Every man indeed has this unalienable right. Listen, this is not something that's just American. Sadly, however, most countries of the world do not have the kind of declaration ours have. Our revolution is different from other revolutions. Ours was a revolution away from wrong in the direction of right. So when you hear a socialist or a communist stand up and call for revolution, and liken it to the United States Revolution, you know that man's lying. He's either lying or
amen.
Of what our revolution was about. The freedom of choice is man's. The freedom to develop their personality. The freedom to develop their own potential, the freedom to express themselves, that we have in these United States of America. We can do this. We can remember the command of Jesus, this do in remembrance of me. Why can we do that? Because we have lived. liberty. If that liberty is ever taken away, if that liberty is ever lost, and Christians have to meet not in open public buildings like this, but in houses, in basements. You've heard the stories tell of how it was in communistic countries, a church of 50 people maybe, but it took them several hours to assemble, because they would have to come spaced out in time. Just one or two or three. They couldn't all go to that house at one time. It would raise concern. One, two would come and they'd filter in, not calling attention to themselves. You've seen it in the magazine that I urge you to get in, the Voice of the Martyrs, how they'll meet in a basement with only candles or kerosene lanterns because they're not able to be detected. The windows have to be blackened, blocked, so that they can assemble. And sad to say, there are times when the enemy filters in among them. And as a result, they're exposed. Their freedom. They don't have freedom, but they're privileged to worship. They don't have the privilege to worship. They're even the kind of worship I just described, they lose. There is legal or political freedom to which every man is entitled. We are entitled to that. Regardless of what country someone lives in, they are entitled. It's an unalienable right given by the Creator to freedom. And regardless of the kind of country that it's in and its laws, it's sad. There's a freedom of religion for which Christians everywhere strive. We have so many people coming to this country as legal immigrants. One of the things they're coming for is the freedoms that we have. Then lastly is the pursuit of happiness. It is marvelous for a human being to desire happiness. It is normal for a human being to desire happiness. Happiness. What is happiness? We have an idea of it when we do something and we feel joyful, we feel excited. But you see, you can have happiness without having that kind of joyful excitedness. Because happiness, I believe, involves as much contentment and satisfaction as it does that kind of bubbly joyfulness. So many times people, their happiness is connected to what's happening. Tricky little way to put it, isn't it? But it helps us remember it. But biblical happiness is not based on what's happening. It's based on the contentment and the satisfaction that we have in Jesus Christ. Job says this, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Do you know Christ is Savior? We're about to commune.
Amen.
And we will remember the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Him as your Savior, you're not only obeying what He gave as an instruction to us, but you are having the opportunity of experiencing, as a citizen of these United States of America, the fulfillment of the greatest extent of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's praise and ask
you. You're sitting here in the room.